pitch to the Center Circle studio. Tim Van Horn goes studs up into the soccer world where no one is safe. The 18-yard box is wall-free. This is My Three Subs Podcast, a soccer odyssey with your manager, Tim Van Horn.
Soccer is back. That means cup matches, and that means cup upsets. Well, it means we can think about cup upsets.
Yeah, we can want them.
Yeah. MLS is still in full swing. They're making a push for the playoffs, and the Tennessee team might have a seat at the table.
Watch out for Nashville, especially at Nissan Stadium.
I know. Wow. They are going rogue at Nissan. We'll check USL action, too. Just a few games left, and all those groups are starting to take shape. We'll look at Memphis 901 FC's own group as well. But there's so much to get to, and we're going to get started. It's just a whole lot of stuff, and that's
stuff with stuff.
Yeah, it's coming up next. We got all that Premier League stuff too. And this is My Three Subs.
We'll be back with today's kickoff from the Center Circle Studios. This is My Three Subs, a soccer odyssey.
When you're buying or selling a home, it can be one of the most stressful times of your life. When you're purchasing a home, it's one of the biggest investments you'll ever make, and you want to get it right, and you want to know that you got it at a fair price and not have buyer's remorse as you're moving those boxes into the house. If you're selling, you want to make sure you get a good price for it, and you're able to move on quickly and move on to your next stop in life. I'm Tim Van Horn, licensed realtor in Tennessee and Mississippi with Cry Like Realtors. My number is 901-756-8900 in my office, or you can always call me on my cell at 901-262-5000. I'm relocation certified, and whether you're moving around the block or around the world, I can help you get where you're going. If you're thinking of selling your home, give me a call. I'll put together a marketing plan that'll help you put that sold sign in the front yard faster. If you're thinking of buying a home, give me a call or check me out online at timvanhorn.com for a personalized home search. And I never, I mean never, charge a fee to work with buyers. So give me a call at my office, 901-756-8900, or on my cell at 262-5000. You can always find me on the website at timvanhorn.com. That's timvanhorn.com. For Tim Van Horn, Cry Like Realtors.
This is My Three Subs, a soccer odyssey. We're underway from the Center Circle Studios.
This is hodgepodge this week. This is a little bit here and a little bit there. Where should we start? I've got a whole list of things. I know you got a whole list of things.
Let's start it with the premiere.
Okay. Really the top note that I have here is there's about six or seven teams that have gotten off to a good start and have actually played some pretty good football.
Yeah.
Of course, Leicester's at the top of the table. Jamie Vardy looks like he's going to be okay. Yeah. And then you've got Arsenal, you've got Liverpool, you've got Palace, you've got
Crystal Palace. Hold up on that one, man. They have been shot out of a cannon.
Leeds have, I don't know what their goal differential is going to be, but damn, they're exciting.
Yeah.
And then Everton's been pretty dadgum awesome to watch. They have been fun. You got Calvert-Lewin that has played very well for them. You got Richarlison. Mm-hmm. You have also now James Rodriguez. It's in the mix as well. They've done good transfer business. They're looking pretty good. But so many different teams. But, I mean, let's start with your boys over at Arsenal. I mean, they look like they are going to be top four contenders. Whether they get there or not, I don't know, but they do look a little bit tighter,
you know, it's
in a good way compared to last year.
Well, if this year it feels like a lot of the team is in mid-season form, which is fine.
Yeah.
You know, I hope they don't hit a slump, you know, a postseason form in a couple weeks. But, a lot of mid-season form. And to that being said, a lot of those teams that we just rattled off, that is the feeling a lot with those clubs, is that they already have this ball down the hill kind of feel whenever they take the pitch. So that's really exciting. That being said, I want to bring up some of the deficient clubs, and that being a one that we had in our top four, and that's Man United.
Yeah.
What's going on over there? They're not making any moves. They don't feel...
That is their transfer policy, that there is no transfer policy. Yeah,
right. I mean, it's just... But it's weird, right? Like, they just don't seem... They're resting on their laurels a lot, I feel. Watching them play is very uninspired, we'll say. It's just... I don't know. I would be kind of worried if I was Man United right now, and I'm not really sure who's to blame or who's at fault.
And Crystal Palace stuck it to them last weekend, 3-1.
That was a
pretty comprehensive win. Wilfred Zaha with two goals in that one. I'm curious to see how this lineup is able to operate with Pogba.
Yeah.
With Fernandez.
Yeah.
And you know, where do you put McTominay? Do you get Pogba out of the back so much and just let McTominay kind of run the show kind of in a Roy Keane fashion and let Pogba move up? But
I don't know.
It's the same thing. It always comes back to, is Pogba and X and Y or Pogba and X unable to coexist?
And maybe that problem is Pogba.
Maybe.
You know, when your sum is that of one, you have to start looking at it. You know, and so far, if I was Man United, maybe I start looking at Paul Pogba and seeing, okay, well, maybe I can get two for the price of one for a Pogba and get what we need out of that back.
And I even forgot to mention Van de Beek, the new guy who scored for Manchester United.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to be in the mix as well. So it's a nice dilemma to have five or six midfielders for three or four spots.
Sure.
But the problem with that is, what's the combination? I mean, you have a few permutations there where you can maybe make it work, but there are a few there that just are oil and water and they're just not going to mix.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they play Brighton tomorrow, which, by the way, is not a bye week by any stretch of the imagination.
Brighton
has played some pretty decent soccer.
Yeah. It used to be a Byron on your schedule was like, all right, we can breathe that week, but not so much as of late.
Brighton, well, and maybe unfairly because everybody's going to beat Fulham, so I don't think that's going to be.
Are we relegating them already?
No, I don't want to say that.
They'll get lucky. They watch. I'm going to say it now. Fulham's going to get lucky, and they're going to still be in Premier League next year by the skin of their teeth.
You're
going to have those weird wins where you're like, really? Because of the pure and simple fact that people overlook them.
Yeah. You know, they've got...
It's not going to happen a lot, but it will happen.
Yeah, I know they haven't played Fulham yet, but I know that's just one of those things where you think Brighton's going to be down near the table bottom with Fulham. I just don't see that the case. And I know that they stuck it to Newcastle, which was shocking to me when they beat Newcastle 3-0.
See?
And then Chelsea beat them on, what was it, opening day? Was that opening day?
Well, Chelsea's opening day.
Yeah, Chelsea won 3-1. But, you know, Brighton's not too shabby. I think Brighton's going to be okay this year. West Ham is going to be awful. The countdown for me continues for David Moyes. Will he be the next full-time Memphis 901 FC coach? Will he be brought in maybe as part of that Air Fingers Quote international search that's going to be going on?
Yeah, we're going to unpack and unload on the USL in just a little bit. But I think, you know, if you're looking at West Ham, they're going to have those weird wins, dude. Watch. They're going to have those weird where you're like, really? And it's going to be like a 2-1 victory. And you're like, geez, they pulled that one out of their keisters.
They've got just enough talent to make it just absolute hell for the fans on if you're going to get relegated, just do it early so that we don't have that last week or the week before absolute letdown. Let it be known by Christmas that we're, you know what, let's just go ahead and plan for 46 matches next year in the championship.
Pull the anti-Liverpool.
Yes. Yeah. I mean they've got and they've got talent. That's the thing.
Yeah.
That's what's upsetting about all of this is
David Moyes?
No, I don't. I think the management has made some just awful buys. They overpay for everything. I don't think it's Moyes' fault to a great extent. I think Moyes may play a certain way, and maybe it doesn't work out for West Ham, but I think a lot of it could be the talent there is good. It's just not great.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to throw David Moyes under the bus. Hey, he kept them up before, remember? And
that's
then they,
right.
and I remember that statement that he had made previously. Well, I'm coming in, and if we stay up, that'll be fantastic. But if not, I guess I'll just be here for 6 months. what kind of a, you know, if that didn't inspire the fans?
Yeah.
At the London Stadium, I just don't know. I just don't know what will, but I know that, you know, Arsenal survived a little bit of a scare there because it was 1-1 at the half last week with West Ham.
Yeah.
You got Michael Antonio, who's pretty good. Come and on. You've got...
still had 45 minutes.
Declan Rice is going to go soon.
Yeah.
Because I think he'll get out of there. Suchek has been a nice revelation that they've re-signed him. He's going to be okay.
Kind of out of the woodwork, too, with Suchek.
Yeah.
I feel. You know, it was like, oh, yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
You know? It's not that he doesn't do anything on the pitch. It's just that he hasn't done it. What have you done for me lately? Has not been answered.
Well, and part of the frustration that they laid on Arsenal was they played a 5-4-1 last week. They basically had three at the back, two wing backs, and then three in the middle that clogged everything up, and then you had Antonio up top. Just, dear God, just get me the ball somewhere near the goal, and don't make me come back and get it 70 yards.
Right.
But that was part of the problem. But also, if you look at the statistics from that match, I think possession, it was like 65% Arsenal.
Yeah.
65-35, so.
They had the ball all the time.
Bottom line is Arsenal won a match which they would oftentimes drop points on in the year before. So I think
that's why I said mid-season match.
And I'm not an Arsenal fan, but I'm going to call it as I see it. And I think these are positive. They may be baby steps, maybe they're toddler steps, but they are positive steps for your Gunners.
I think so, too. And props to our Arteta and everybody over there. So,
yeah, he seems to be doing an okay job. And by okay, I mean it's better than
what we had.
Better than what you had. Let's I guess standings wise, I guess we should probably touch on Liverpool as well. Liverpool with two wins. I watched the Carabao Cup on Thursday.
Yes.
And I don't know what round the Carabao Cup is. It might be second round I don't know. But there were a few. It was so surreal because my aunt lives in Lincoln, and Liverpool went to Lincoln to play Lincoln City yesterday.
Yeah.
And my aunt had no idea that Liverpool was in town, and she lives 8 minutes from the stadium.
Yeah.
Well, she lives close enough that when it's a packed house at I don't even know what they call the stadium now. It used to be called Sincil Bank in Lincoln City, that she could hear the crowd from her house.
Pictures start falling off the walls.
You know, you know, if there's a big win against Gillingham or something, right. You know, Port Vale or somebody like that. But she had no idea because it's so quiet over there that it was essentially the essential personnel that were there. But it was funny to see Virgil van Dijk and Origi out there, you know, amongst the guys with jersey numbers of 40, 60 and 70 out there. not not intentionally like Trent Alexander-Arnold, who you know used to wear 66 or does wear 66, but those guys that they have those squad numbers way up there like 75. Like
I wear 99.
It's like who the heck is that guy?
They don't even bother like printing the name on the jersey. It's just one of those like iron-on patches kind of thing,
or just put trialist on the back. the halftime score was 4-0. 45 seconds into the second half, it was 5-0. Match ended up being 7-2. So
hey, they scored.
It was very entertaining because they scored twice.
Yeah.
Liverpool kept on pouring on the goals, but neither team really just stopped going after it because the Liverpool young guys had something to prove because if they can just get a nugget of time in that first team, which is going to win some stuff this year again anyway. They had every motivation to go. Van Dijk just was out there just to keep his legs warmed up, I think, more than anything else. Origi can't get in that front line because you got Mane, Firmino, and Salah up front. So he's all pissed off because he wants to get minutes, and he scored in that game.
Well, he's probably using it for a little bit of tape, you know, for his eventual transfer.
Get
a goal and get a couple goals. We need something for your highlight reel, you know.
But the thing about Origi is when he comes in as a sub, he plays well. He seems to be well prepared. He's ready to come into the match. It doesn't impact him, which could serve him well later in his career. It was funny, though, to see Shaqiri stand next to Van Dijk because Shaqiri's just a little bitty fella.
Right.
And Van Dijk, of course, is a giant out there in the middle of the pitch. I thought maybe it was like his nephew. He was like, no, it's Shaqiri. How did he get
David and Goliath out there?
Yeah. And Shaqiri had his hair really short, so he looked a little bit younger, too. He always looks like an older guy, even though he's not that old. He just does. To me,
30,
something like that. Yeah, and then I guess we mentioned Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace, the disciples of Roy Hodgson, build from the back, strong, solid defense.
They're going to be scary this year, man.
And then get Zaha to steal a goal or two if you can.
Yeah.
You're really the only tragedy out of that. And it's not a tragedy because he's helping Crystal Palace now, is that Zaha would probably do well with a team with European aspirations.
I would think so.
You know, he's not a fit for everybody, but right. He would be a fit for some.
Yeah. I'm telling you, though, watch out for Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace is, I don't know, they're just doing something right. And maybe it is playing out of the back. They're playing to their strengths, that's for sure.
They are. And this is the way and Hodgson has managed many, many teams, and he has been successful. And there's a reason he's got a formula, and it's tried and true, that you can't lose a game, you know, negative one to nothing.
Right.
Right. If you give up no goals, you can't lose.
Right.
So
right.
There's something to be said about that. And then in the mix, too, I know that they've won one and they've lost one. But Leeds United, 2 matches, 7 goals scored, 7 conceded. They're just fun as hell.
I'll watch every single match that I can with Leeds. The virtual fans that they have, then they cut to. What a blast they are to watch, you know.
I mentioned Fulham. They took care of Fulham 4-3 over the weekend. Mitrovic is basically their good player for Fulham. He got a couple of goals, but, you know, you let him get tired, then he's done for the day.
Leeds is really fun to watch. I hope they do well. I really hope they do well. I fear that they're going to be close to the bottom this year, but they will be still in the Premier League.
I could see Leeds 12th or 13th. I just want to see Bielsa on a milk crate or a Home Depot bucket smoking a cigarette on the sideline. To me, that would be fun. You know, forget about...
Don't put it past him. Leeds is going to do anything and everything.
Forget about coronavirus. He'll be out there, you know, smoking on... He's got a heater in his mouth, killing the coronavirus with the nicotine.
Right.
And, but they're just fun to watch. Yeah. So, Premier League, just a couple of games in.
And great story, too, from Leeds.
After all these years, man. I mean, those guys, and the opening couple of weekends, they've had some of the previous guys, come to the matches and speak to the team, but they speak with such pride of these young guys that have been able to get it done after all this time. If you've never seen The Damned United on Netflix, I highly encourage that, because Mr. Clough, if you remember Mr. Clough from Nottingham Forest, of course, his son Nigel, been managing in the EFL for many years, but Brian Clough went from managing Derby County to Leeds. It did not go well,
right.
And it chronicles that. It's a great it's not a documentary. It's just a great movie, and it talks about his envy for Don Revy, who had managed Leeds United and had managed the national team, and he wanted to be like Don Revy. It's a great story. So it's good to have Leeds back into the conversation, for sure. We mentioned Carabao Cup, Liverpool and Lincoln City, but then you said you laid eyes on Man City and Bournemouth the other day too.
Boy, that was a snooze fest. I know it came out with Man U on top.
Man
City on top. But I don't know. There was something about that match where I was like, does anybody want to win? Like, I'm just going to throw toss a coin kind of thing.
Don't look now, but an American was in goal. He just didn't have much to do.
I know. That's what I'm saying. It's just, gosh, it was bad. It was a lot of in the midfield kind of back and forth.
Zach Steffen called off of his lawn chair a couple of times in the match, but
yeah,
not much more than that. But, of course, you will remember him from MLS days, and you'll remember him, of course, from U.S. national team days. And this can't hurt his resume to be over there, for sure.
Oh, no, not in the least.
U.S. national team, speaking of the home nation fellas, it looks like it's going to be a while before they play, and no matches scheduled for the month of October due to, I guess, coronavirus concerns and other federations not wanting to get together.
Yeah, and I want to say they canceled the rest of the year, if I'm not mistaken. I thought I saw somewhere report that that they were actually talking about the rest of the year, that there wouldn't be any matches to take place, which would be interesting to see what then happens.
Yeah.
You know?
In other news in world soccer, Trinidad and Tobago has been banned from competition by FIFA wanting to take FIFA to court.
Yeah. So I don't know why I find this so funny. It's like, in my head, I'm playing it out. We want to fight you in court. You can't play at all. All right.
It's so sad because, you know, it impacts a couple of our Memphis 901 FC guys.
Yeah, well, I know.
Tristan Hodge, yeah. Leston Paul. I mean,
I feel bad that they can't play, but, you know, we're going to do everything we can to make sure that our voice is heard. Fine, you can't play. All right.
Yeah, I mean, it's yeah, it's a bit ridiculous. Dwayne Muckett, too. I almost forgot Dwayne. Sorry, Dwayne. We love you, too. But they're going to be out of competition, and that could impact the Gold Cup. That could impact the World Cup, which means, hey, we got a better chance of getting in.
Bingo! We don't have to worry about beating...
Hey, can we do retroactive since Trinidad and Tobago was the one that knocked us out of qualifying last cycle?
Oh, I don't know.
Can we retroactively get in the World Cup?
Well, we better not speak ill of FIFA because they'll just ban us.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, they've already pretty much destroyed us by adding 5 subs to a show called My 3 Subs.
Yeah,
so
thanks a lot.
Yeah,
FIFA.
We're already screwed on that. So, it goes. MLS. If we look over into the East, Columbus is the cream of the crop. Orlando, Philadelphia, Toronto, all amongst the top 4. But don't look now, sitting back a point out of 8th and in a playoff spot with a game in hand is Nashville SC.
Don't play them at home.
They are
just don't play them at home.
They are tough at Nissan Stadium.
Man, what is I? And you know they're getting that stadium built. I would second guess that building of the stadium because right now at Nissan they are lights out on defense. Man, it is fun to watch them. And DC came in. This is the last match I watched with them. I believe it was their last match.
The 1-0. Yeah, the 1-0.
1-0 win over DC, and they just had it down. You thought, okay, DC is applying the pressure. There was a lot coming in from DC. Nashville shutting it down. Good for them. And then finally getting that little bit of breathing room there, was able to put one in the back of the net. And
I believe that was Rios that scored for them, wasn't it? No, it may not have been Rios.
I don't think it was Rios, but he helped along the way. It was just that little breath of fresh air. That's all they needed to put one up there and then get him into that 8th spot.
It was Rios.
Oh, was it?
It was Daniel Rios, and he was one that tormented 901 FC during the USL days. He's one of the ones they kept and brought up to MLS.
I'm going to be honest with you. He has jets.
Oh, yeah.
The cat's got jets.
Yeah, yeah.
There were a couple times where Nashville was breathing down the neck of a goal. One of them finally leaked in. But Nashville's one of those teams, man. Just don't play them at home, and you're fine.
Yes, and I want to say this, too. I would not be surprised if Joe Willis isn't up for goalkeeper of the month.
Oh, I would.
I mean, he's been terrific. He is coached by Matt Pickens, who was the goalkeeper for Nashville SC, for Nashville SC in the USL. He retired. Of course, he had a distinguished career in MLS. He was also on the U.S. national team as well, but he's now coaching. And Joe Willis has kind of found his stride in Nashville on the back line with Walker Zimmerman and Dave Romney, basically in the middle of the back four. And then you've got Washington and Johnston on the wings. So, yeah, they are very watchable. And not only that, they could be playoff bound in the East.
I hope so. For Nashville's sake, I hope so. It's fun to watch that club play. And I hate Nashville. I hate them. But they're fun.
They have built well.
I'm a Memphis boy. I have to say it.
And they've stuck to their coach through the lower levels all the way up.
Yeah.
So Coach Smith.
Really cool there.
Hats off to the organization for doing that now. Over in the West, Seattle, Portland, Kansas City, Colorado, and Dallas, all within basically arm's reach of the top 5. So that could be anybody's right now. It's going to be a scramble in the West, and it usually is.
Normally is, yeah.
But notice I didn't mention either of the LA teams among the top 5.
Boy, so
a little bit of an off year.
They started out so well, and then all of a sudden they found a rock, stubbed their toe, and then fell in the ocean. In that order.
That is a very graphic and a very accurate way to describe that.
I'm just saying. I mean,
and then they fell in the water. A shark found them, but their pregnant girlfriend or wife dragged them out. Wasn't that a story this week in the news?
Yeah, right.
Jeez. What a year.
The green grass grows all around and around.
That's what's going on in MLS, but we're excited that Nashville SC has created themselves perhaps an opportunity to make it to the postseason in their first year, and they've done it the right way. They're yes. building out of the back, and they're taking their chances when they can, so really appreciate and respect that. Over in the USL Championship, it is almost nitty-gritty time. It's almost the point, well, for some of these, it's the penultimate game.
Yeah.
Does that mean next to last? I don't even know what the... that sounds like that is the definition of
go with it.
Penultimate.
Just go with it.
Hang on, I'm looking this up. Penultimate.
Don't do that. You're going to dash your hopes and dreams.
Last but one in a series of things, second last. So, yes.
Yeah,
so
right.
So, for many clubs, it's the penultimate game.
Yeah.
Here, let's see.
Penultimate.
Again.
Penultimate.
You said it right, too.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. All right.
Notice I didn't say it.
Yeah. Well, this time it was Google.
Oh.
Or Bixby. I don't know what this is, but my phone spoke to me. So,
yeah.
So, Leah, let's talk about the groups. Do you want to start with Group G?
It's the one that I feel most complete.
Emotionally attached to?
Yeah, oh. and well, we've got a little bit more definition of who's going where, I think, in Group G. Simply because mathematically eliminated is Memphis 901 FC.
Yeah, Memphis is done regarding playoff chances. There are three matches left. They can top out at 19 points. Birmingham and Charlotte are tied with two matches left. At 25. Birmingham with a superior goal difference. And I say that because the first tiebreaker is wins, and right now they've got seven apiece. They're 7-4-3.
Yeah, but Charlotte has the streak going where they're nothing but green W's, and
yeah.
then they had that one draw.
So North Carolina is at 13. They can reach 25. They have a goal differential of -7. So really, it would have to totally hit the fan for Birmingham or Charlotte.
Charlotte.
And then for North Carolina to go on nothing but a four-match win streak to get through. So any point by Charlotte or Birmingham, if they both get a point this weekend, then or if Carolina fails to win, they're done.
Right.
This weekend, let's talk about those matches in Group G. So you've got Memphis 901 FC is on the road, and they're going to be taking on the Charlotte Independents. They're going to take on Enzo Martinez and Charlotte. That is tomorrow at 6 o'clock. You can catch that on ESPN+. Plus. I think you can also catch that on Channel 30.
Yeah, it's on CW.
Yeah.
That's barring they play it. Of course, the Wednesday match was postponed due to coronavirus.
Right. One positive test within the protective group. That could be players. That could be staff.
But we're not going to speculate on who got it.
No. Okay. Not needed. I believe that match was that going to be against North Carolina FC?
Yeah, North Carolina.
Okay. Okay.
Which is interesting because they would have to play that, right?
Maybe.
I mean, it depends on what happens this weekend.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what they're doing. They're just going to say, okay, well, if we need it, then we'll play it. But if Memphis, say, were to win on a hot streak Charlotte team, they would have to play it. I would think.
Could be. Yeah, very well could be. Looking back, but we haven't even, you know, time flies. We haven't even talked about the Louisville match, have we, with 901?
I guess no.
we can get to that in a minute because we got to talk about the groups first. And then
we can
drill down. Okay, so.
You want to go back to H?
No, let's finish out G. So,
okay.
So G is Birmingham and Charlotte. They're neck and neck to win that group. Birmingham with the edge on goal difference right now. So that one's pretty much done. So let's go to H, and then we'll loop back to A and hit all those.
Yeah, because H is done. We know who's moving on in H.
You think? Holy cow. Tampa Bay with 30 points, Charleston Battery with 27, and Atlanta United down with 12.
So Atlanta pulling the Atlanta move this season when in soccer.
But here's the thing. Still don't know who's going to win Group H because Charleston has a match in hand and that goal differential is only 3.
I mean, yeah, but they've clinched the playoffs.
Right. But your seeding, it could determine...
Oh, who's at home and who's...
And who you face, right. Okay. Because it would be... Right now, as it stands, Tampa would be... hosting, I think, Charlotte Independents.
It's safe to say Tampa won the Battle of Florida, though, right?
Yeah, Miami. Yeah, Miami FC falling a little bit short at 10 points, so yeah, that would be true. All right, let's go out west. Let's talk about, good God almighty, Group A. That one's been settled for a long time. Reno on top right now, 5 points clear of Sacramento, 31-26. You have Portland and Sounders 2 that have yet to even crack 10 points.
Yeah.
So that one's done.
The end.
Phoenix Rising has not clinched.
Which is surprising, right?
They have two matches in hand and a 3-point lead over San Diego Loyal. San Diego has only one more match to go.
This is a fun group to watch. If you have a chance to watch anybody from Group B, which includes Phoenix Rising, includes San Diego Loyal, LA Galaxy 2, Orange County,
even fourth place Orange County right now is still a very viable option to get into the playoffs.
You might be able to miss any Las Vegas Lights game, but at least those four, you're watching a really good match.
Well, and you may want to watch a match involving Las Vegas Lights if it includes one of these in the group, because that's the way you're going to get a playoff.
Right. That's true.
Yeah. But right now, nobody has guaranteed them a spot other than Las Vegas. They've guaranteed them a spot on the golf course.
Right. They got that E next to them. Eliminated.
They are eliminated. Okay, Group C.
We know this one.
Done deal. Yeah, El Paso, Locomotive, New Mexico United are through in Group C. Still to be determined. It looks like El Paso's got a 4-point edge there, but still to be officially determined. Defending champion Real Monarchs and Colorado Springs. Colorado Springs, who, by the way, will open a new stadium next year. Both of those clubs are done.
Our buddy J.J. Greer is probably.
He may go to christen it, may open it.
That'd be fun.
Maybe, yeah. Group D, San Antonio. This is my dark horse to win it all this year. They are 15 points clear with two to go. Mathematically, they're clear. They are good to go.
They're in.
Austin Bold, FC Tulsa. These two teams are actually not bad at all, but they've come across that buzzsaw of San Antonio, which is where Liam Doyle is gone, by the way. That was not a loan. That was a sale. He was sold to San Antonio. He is there with...
Signed, sealed, delivered.
Yeah, so Austin Bold, FC Tulsa are going to battle for that second spot.
I don't think Oklahoma City has a chance.
They're eliminated. Yeah, they're mathematically. No, they're not mathematically limited, but yeah, I don't think they have a chance. And Rio Grande Valley
has
no chance. I saw an incredible match on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
It was Louisville City. No, excuse me. It was Indy 11 hosting St. Louis FC. And.
Knockout dragout, huh?
Yes. I mean, this went to the final whistle. They had 8 minutes of added time. Despite being on the road, despite having not one, but two players sent off.
Redded or accumulation?
At least one was an accumulation. I didn't see the first card, but I noticed that they were playing down to 10. I was like, oh, I'm going to stick around and see what happens with this. So, and then they had a second yellow, and they have a couple of key players that are going to be missing their one of their critical matches, which is going to be this weekend.
Yeah.
In fact, it was Sam Fink.
Ooh.
Yeah, Fink is going to be out, and then I believe it's going to be, and this is a guy we've talked about keeping an eye on too, was Todd Wharton. Wharton is going to be out against Louisville. So Fink and Wharton are both going to be out against Louisville. So despite Fink getting sent off, Wharton getting sent off.
St. Louis needs those points.
And then Kyle Morton basically finishing the match on one leg.
Yeah, okay, so explain what happened to Kyle Morton. He's finishing injured?
He finished the last 20-some-odd minutes at least injured. In fact, it got so bad he had to have one of his backs take the goal kicks.
Jeez.
Yeah.
How bad is it?
He's going to play.
Yeah.
Right? He's going to get taped up. It's a leg thing. I don't know if it was cramps, if it was a pull. Cryotherapy, get him stretched out.
But a cortisone shot.
Varsity Blues. Kyle Morton is not going to be missing against Louisville City. So the final end, and also he had a couple of saves where he had to basically stand on his head too. Jeez. So, and he was in there flying. Indy 11 and St. Louis ended up in a 1-1 draw.
Which is interesting because they're 1 point away from each other finishing this thing up.
So there are... How many matches left for these teams? A couple?
So
two apiece.
Two apiece, yeah.
But here's the trick. St. Louis has Louisville this weekend.
Oh, man.
And that's going to be tough. Louisville is a buzz. Swope Park Rangers, they're done. But now it is simply down to Louisville City will win the group. And then the question becomes, will it be Indy 11 or St. Louis? And I go back to what I said a week ago, and Steve Trittschuh, the head coach for St. Louis, has been punching above his weight. He They, if you look at this group when they set this up, you had Louisville and Indy penciled in. The question just was which order. Right. And St. Louis has come in there and disrupted everything.
Yeah. And said, wait, hold my beer.
He's doing an incredible job. Yeah. And St. Louis, of course, going away at the end of the year, which means a lot of players are going to scatter at the end of the year. And don't think that the line to get some of these guys like a Sam Fink, Kyle Morton.
They're 4 hours away,
don't
guys.
Forget Walfall.
Walfall. Yeah, that was another one.
When I saw him play the other night, I was like, you know, hey, that's one of Brody's favorite guys.
One of my guys. That's my boy.
One of his guys there.
I want a fall jersey. Walfall.
They will.
But I want the full name on it.
They're going to line up for some of those guys for sure, and I think there'll be a line for Trent Shue as well.
I mean, you'd have to.
Yeah.
You'd have to. Sign him up.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah. So that's Group E. Group F, Pittsburgh Riverhounds.
Jeez.
And would you look in there? Look who's in second.
Hartford Athletic.
In their second year.
Second year. They started out the same time as 901 FC. And
didn't we beat them like three times last year?
Yeah.
Twice in the regular season, once in the cup.
Yeah.
Jimmy Nielsen was let go as the head coach. He was the most entertaining coaches, though. He talked on the sideline the entire time.
Shut up, dude.
Oh, no. It was fun. It was fun because he would. It wasn't like he was yelling, and if you had him on mic, it wasn't, you know, you didn't have to worry about the seven-second delay.
Right, right.
But Pittsburgh, let me say this. Hartford has a match in hand. Pittsburgh has two matches left. Hartford has three. Mathematically, Hartford could win the group. Pittsburgh is not going to let Coach Lilly is not going to let that group slip away.
That streak that Pittsburgh's on is nothing but green dubs. So let the streak continue, Pittsburgh. Just keep going, you nasty little Riverhounds, you.
I would like to see Pittsburgh and San Antonio in the final. I would love to see that clash, man.
That'd be fun. Pittsburgh plays fast.
They do. They do. And plus, they have that stadium where the train goes by.
Yeah, I know. There's trains everywhere in Pittsburgh, though, by the way. So, yeah, mountain and just trains everywhere. So.
Incredible. And then last week, and let's drill down on the local team, Memphis 901 FC clawed back. They were down 2-0 pretty quickly against Louisville. Clawed one back on a well-orchestrated team goal. When I say well-orchestrated, it took the brains of Keanu Marsh Brown to not go play a ball in which he was going to be in an
offside position.
He made himself inactive because he did everything that he could to show that I'm not going to try to play this ball, which
right.
The assistant referee kept the flag down, allowed Michael Reed to come back, get the ball. Keanu eventually got it back, took a great shot into the corner where there was a terrific save. Jennings settles it, scores 2-1, but then after that, I mean, that was pretty much...
They swatted the hornet's nest is what they did.
Yeah, Louisville at that point came back, scored a couple more, 4-1. Jennings got his goal. Jennings, once he came off in the 55th or 60th minute, it's almost like the soccer gods. Once Jennings comes off, they get pissed off, and then just not good things happen.
Yeah, it was bad news bears from the 60th minute on as Louisville tacked on two more. I think the final was 4-1.
4-1 was the final.
Should have been like 19-1. It felt like. Just the way that Memphis was outplayed.
Possession-wise, Louisville, it seemed like once they got a two-goal lead again, they never had to really kick it up into a high gear. At that point, they were happy with possession and just waiting to let the clock run out and get out of there with a win. And regarding Jennings, and I see this on social media. I'll talk about it. I don't care.
Whatever.
But, I mean, he's 55, 60 minutes. He gets pulled. Every game, it never fails. Something bad happens for the team. I don't know. The coaches are paid more than I am. They're smarter than I am. There's got to be a reason, either a fitness reason.
It doesn't look like it, though. The guy runs off. You know, if you're that gassed, you're going to walk off, right? Jennings ran off at the 60th minute.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't explain why bad things happen when it happens. But, I mean, have we seen him go 90? No. I'll have to look back and see if he's done a 90 minute.
He's come off the bench more often than not. And then when he started, he gets subbed out in the past two matches.
Yeah, I can't explain it. I don't know. But it's just weird how it always – I mean, it's like, uh-oh.
Yep. Here it goes.
It's almost like, hey, here's a very successful sitcom. Let's bring on Ted McGinley. Except for Married with Children.
Yeah, right.
That was the exception.
Right.
But, no, man.
It's bad. It's and listen, the season is what it is at this point, right, for Memphis.
Points per match, we are worse off this year than we were last year.
Right.
We would need to get a couple of wins to match that or surpass what we did last year. We basically had a point per match. Right now, we are below that.
Right.
I think this is a tough situation for Ben Pearman to win.
Oh, yeah.
I know he conducts the training. He does all of that. He didn't pick the players. I know he's trying a system, which I really liked the fact that he gave a shot. It looked like a 3-5-2 to start the match. He did, or some sort of a hybrid. He did something a little different at the start of the match. I also noticed that he adjusted on the fly as well, which I'm not saying that Tim Mulqueen didn't, but I'm saying for his first match.
It was more visible.
I'm sure he had a lot of emotions, a lot of nervous energy going, but he had the presence of mind to be making those active switches. I thought he was coaching them up and doing a good job on the sideline. I don't know, with the promise of an international surge and wanting to,
how far does that go?
Yeah.
You know, and that's the problem now is obviously we did some speculative work last week with wants and we kind of played a little dating game when it came down to it, which was fun. But at the end of the day, you're right. It's going to be tough for Ben Pearman to actually give like a hey, I could do better, you know, kind of speech when it comes down to the nitty gritty. When it comes down to the interview.
And he doesn't have enough time to get really a trend going.
No. You got the last two games of the season. The guys see the writing on the wall. When are they going to? Yeah, how are you going to inspire that? And maybe
I'll be curious to see if any are checked out the last couple of games.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, who plays?
Yeah,
you know, it'll be really interesting to see how he inspires whomever is willing to play for him, and what happens from there. And maybe that's what the upper, you know, the up deck there is going to sit there and watch. It's like, okay, well, how do? You know, what comes out of this?
Yeah. I will tell you, last week at practice, Tim Howard was sitting in the stands with James Rowling, sporting director and assistant sporting director, just observing practice. I think they're trying to figure out, okay, what are our off-season moves? Who do we keep? Who do we offer to retain? And who do we say, you know,
thanks.
We appreciate it. But
here's your
t-shirt. You best, you know, good luck on moving forward. So,
interesting.
There's a lot going on, and they're not even kicking a ball until tomorrow. But I mean, there's just so much going on behind the scenes, and
it's fun.
It's fun in a way. It's fun in a way. But I feel
about careers.
But. I feel genuinely bad for Craig Unger.
Yeah.
It's been an awful year.
Yeah.
You know, here's a guy that. First year, the marketing out of the gate was boom, 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 boom. It looked like, hey. Out of the gate, it's going to be a lot like the first year. Boom, coronavirus hits, baseball's taken away, which is a big revenue driver for that whole organization. Yep. For baseball and for soccer. That rug has been yanked out from under him.
Yep.
You've got, and then you're left with the sport where you're not subsidized by the league above you. Major League Baseball, of course, right. You know, subsidizing player salaries and all of that stuff. But then you're on the hook for all of that, and then you come back, and then you know things have not panned out as you had hoped they would. And then, of course, with limited attendance, you can't recoup much of that, if any of that money back. You're lucky to probably break even.
Next year is going to be brutal.
Well, and that's another thing too. You have so many people that are going to carry their season tickets over to 2021, so you don't have new revenue coming in.
Yeah.
You have the revenue that you've been sitting on.
Yeah.
If you've been able to, you know,
sit on it.
Yeah, exactly. So
I mean, that's what we did. Right?
I carried over
our season ticket.
You know, whatever's going on behind the scenes, I don't know. But I mean, just from the outside looking in, I mean, I feel bad. I feel bad.
Yeah.
I feel bad for Craig. I know this has been a tough year for Tim Howard, too. I mean, he wanted to come in and help sell tickets. He wanted to help raise the team's profile. And there's been very little good news out of this.
Yeah.
But it's also probably been a good year for him to learn as well, because these are extraordinary circumstances.
Oh, yeah. He's going to take some of these little quips that he's kind of picked up along the way and use that down the road. Obviously, it's going to have to be in context, you know, but it's going to be interesting what happens moving forward with this club.
I appreciate what he's tried to do, because he's used his really good name as a soccer legend, nationally and internationally, to get out there. I mean, his first, I don't know if I would have had the courage to do it, but then again, you know, he's
He's a competitor.
He's a whole different level when it comes to, you know, just going for it. He went out there. They shipped four goals in the first match. He took a hammering in the next match after that. You know, for some, they wouldn't go back out there again because of, you know, reputation or history or whatever. But he has put his money, he's put his body where his mouth is. Yep. And for whatever people may say, He has left no stone unturned when it has come to his personal commitment. So, I say thanks. I know it hasn't gone the way that he's wanted this year, but I hope he's at least gotten some benefit out of this on some lessons learned, maybe some more insight, and perhaps 2021 maybe is a lot kinder.
Do you think he plays again next year?
No. Why? I mean, why would you? I mean, at 41. I mean, it's his body has taken a beating over the years.
I just hope he has given so much. The guy's an Adonis.
I hope you look that good at 36.
Thanks.
I know. I'll kiss my own butt. I know.
Yeah, the guy's an Adonis. I mean, he's a competitor. I wouldn't put it past him. I really wouldn't.
Gosh, I don't know.
I could see his rationale as to why not. But it's also we're talking Tim Howard, and that's just who he is.
I don't know. I mean, he would have to almost be 100% certain that his back four was not going to make him a shooting gallery.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I see where people say, oh, they hung Tim Howard, four goals on Tim Howard. No. No. They put those four goals on the defense, or they put those three goals on the defense. There's very little on any of those goals. If you look back, there's not much he could have done. They were well-placed goals from point-blank range.
When you're taking a 30-mile-an-hour shot and from the six-yard box, I think that was the second goal there. Come on now.
Yeah. So
I mean, he buried that.
There's going to be some changes. The question is, how much money are they going to be able to sink into that, willing to do that? So, but... You know, they have three games left, maybe two that we know of. Yeah. So here's I'm going to leave you with this. I'm looking forward to seeing what Rafa Mensingen can do. I hope that Raul Gonzalez can seal himself a spot either on this or another roster next year. It's great to see him come back. I think he's been solid. He's been a physical player for a guy that was out for a year with a knee.
Yep.
I hope that we see some growth with him. I hope that Keanu Marsh Brown, I know he and Jose Baxter came over taking a big risk coming overseas to try to restart their careers. I hope they are very productive in these last couple of matches. I know they both still have dreams that they want to chase.
I want to see them stay here, but listen, I think big things are in store for KMB.
I hope so. And there's a handful of other guys too. I'd love to see Leston Paul. I'd like to see Leston Paul get a goal.
Yeah, me too.
Just even if it's garbage, I don't care. I just want to see if he will do a goal dance of some sort. I mean, he plays so hard. He does a lot of the thankless dirty work back there.
Do you think he does a samba? What do you think his move is?
I don't know. I hope we get to find out, though.
Yeah, me too.
Hey, but that kind of wraps it up. We wish Nana want to see the best of luck, obviously, and they play tomorrow at 6 o'clock against North Carolina FC, and that'll be on ESPN Plus and on Channel 30.
Yep, CW 30.
Yeah.
So, pretty interesting.
Yeah.
There's the whistle. Thank you for listening. Check out more of My Three Subs podcast, A Soccer Odyssey.
Hey, it's Tim. Just reminding you, this podcast is now powered by Podcave, the complete toolkit for podcasters. Brody and I want all of our time going into making the podcast as entertaining and as interesting as possible for you. So that's why we ditched our old services, made the switch over to Podcave. This is the complete podcast management, combining all the tools we need to make the best shows we can, to make them available on all the platforms you use, and to always stay connected with you. Podcave provides unlimited audio storage, so all our episodes, new and the old ones, are always available whenever you want them. And our website, it's included and built into Podcave, so you always have a place to find us. It's that easy. Music and soundscapes we use on the show are professionally made and fully licensed by Podcave. We get email and text management tools to stay in touch with you, guest booking tools, episode planning tools. Podcave even includes customizable news feeds so that we can stay on top of the latest headlines with Podcave. It's all in one place, and it's all inclusive for just $49 a month. That's right, $49 a month. Podcave, the complete toolkit for podcasters. Save time and money with your first or next podcast. Don't be afraid. Give it a try. Use Podcave. That's podcave.com. That's Podcave.com.